What lies ahead for Robinson Helicopter? From the company's founder, I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. It's hard to know whether Frank Robinson had any idea back in 1979 that his little company would become the world's largest builder of civilian helicopters by unit volume. 8,000 machines later, it has. And Frank spoke to attendees at this year's Heli Expo show in Houston to provide an update on the company. We'll present his comments today, followed by a question and answer session. There was no microphone available for the reporters in this session, so I'll repeat the questions as they're being asked.
Good afternoon. I'm Frank Robinson, president and owner of Robinson Helicopter Company. I'm glad you all were able to make it. What I'm going to do is review what we've been doing for the past year, and then when I get done with that, I'll open it for questions that any of you might have. Last year was a very exceptional year for us. It's the best year that we've ever had in terms of the number of units that we produced and the revenues that we produced. So I really don't have anything to complain about for 2007. We produced 823 helicopters, which is a new record both for us and for the industry. We had, in addition to producing all those helicopters, the fact that 70% of them were actually exported outside the United States, that got the attention of a lot of people, including the President of the United States. And he had his staff look into that, and they contacted me, and he asked if I would give him an invitation to come out and visit our factory, since we were producing so many helicopters. And also the fact that the helicopters that we produce, all the components, a very, very high percentage of everything that goes into that helicopter is all American-made. And that really appealed to him. So he came out. He actually flew Air Force One out to LAX. At LAX, he picked up Arnold Schwarzenegger, and they boarded one of five big, huge Sikorsky Marine Corps helicopters. And that caravan flew from LAX down to Torrance, and boy, did it attract a lot of attention because it made an awful lot of noise. But they landed right there at our apron, right at our factory, and went out and greeted him, and took him and Schwarzenegger for a short tour of the factory. I'll say one thing. I can't say that I've always been in favor of Bush's politics, but he is very, very personable, and I've never seen anybody come through there on a factory tour that was as good at greeting the employees, and he just shook so many hundreds of employees' hands. I was amazed, and he was very genuine and very friendly to all the employees as he went through that whole factory. We got all through the main factory, and then he said that he had heard that there was more employees over in the new West Building. So we walked all the way, he and I walked over and did the West Building as well, and all the employees were just tickled to death. It was the best morale boost that I think I've ever seen in a factory. They just really enjoyed it, and it was a nice thing. I probably will go ahead and ask myself the first question, because I know you're going to ask me the same one. So, well, what's going on with the R-66 turbine helicopter? And we've been flying it now for several months. I've flown it myself, and it flies very well. It flies, frankly, flies very similar to an R-44. Anyone that can fly an R-44 is going to be able to fly that turbine helicopter with no problem. A few minor little procedural changes in the starting procedure, but they're very minor. And otherwise, it flies just like an R-44. So that has all been good. It has a little bit of that whine that turbines are supposed to have when it starts up, just enough to make them all happy. But it's the vibration level felt probably a little bit less than the R-44. The speed is probably, either the same or maybe a little bit higher. And of course, the rate of climb is higher because it's got that power surplus that the Raven 2 doesn't have. Although it has a good margin too, the turbine engine does give you a big advantage there. So everything is going well with it. It's going slow, a lot slower than it should. I get very impatient, but yet we want to be absolutely sure that we do everything right, that we have checked everything as we go along, that we don't have any surprises later on. We don't really have a cash flow problem right now, so I don't have to do like I used to do with the R-22 and go through all sorts of little gymnastics to get people to pay in advance for their helicopters and all that. This time we have the luxury of being able to take everything in order and in stride. So that's where the R-66 is. When will it be done? I don't know. Typically, a program that we're of the type that we have now entered takes anywhere from 1 to 2 years.
At this point, Frank took questions, and the first one was, which engine is currently being flown in the R-66?
The one that we're flying today, now, finally, which we just got fairly recently, is a Rolls-Royce RR-300 engine, and it is, I believe, very, very close to what will be the final production engine. Before, we did a lot of testing with a kind of a modification of the, well, we used to call it the Allison 250, but it's gone through many evolutions as well. And there's a lot of similarities between the two engines, but I think the changes that have been made by Rolls-Royce in this engine are all very much to the good. And getting rid of that axial flow compressor and all those little blades and statters and all that, I think was a big step forward. And replacing all of that with a simple, single-stage, centrifugal blower, and like the bigger turbines have. I think it's a very good engine, and it fits in our helicopter very well. And the way we've got it mounted in the helicopter and the access that we have for it is going to make it a much easier to maintain and work on and do whatever inspections and this sort of thing that they have to do otherwise. So I think it's both a good engine that we have now and a good installation for that engine. I think you're all going to be very happy with it.
Are there any plans for a Robinson helicopter larger than the R-66?
I personally would like to design a larger helicopter that was a utility helicopter that carried both additional cargo and 4 or 5 people. But it's not easy to do. There's a lot of things that make it difficult to design one in that size range. If you want to have a really nice large area to carry a lot of cargo and building supplies and tools and stuff in, where do you put the door? How do you get in and out of it? How do you handle the CG problems? And anyhow, we're looking at that, and we will in the future, but right now we have our hands full with the R-66.
We'll be back with more Q&A with Frank Robinson in a moment. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Do you feel stimulated? Hey, that's why Congress passed the Economic Stimulus Act of 2008, so loyal Americans like yourself would feel stimulated to help rev up the economy by spending money on important stuff like new Garmin avionics. We're talking potential tax incentives, bonus depreciation up to 50% in first-year cost allowances for qualified business use equipment purchases. See your tax advisor for guidance and your Garmin dealer for one whale of a stimulus package. It's almost like your patriotic duty, huh? Garmin, follow the leader.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888- 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. Clarity Aloft headsets are known for the superior clarity of sound. They're lightweight but rugged enough to meet military specifications. Best of all, they boast better noise reduction than ANR in the speech frequencies that matter most to you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Plagg. We're listening to Frank Robinson of Robinson Helicopters answer reporter questions from Heli Expo 2008. Would you like to see the R-44 replace the R-22 as the industry's primary trainer?
Oh, yeah, I have very, very strong feelings on that, and I really would like to see the Raven 1 R-44, the less expensive parallel valve carbureted engine. It's a good engine. It's reliable. It's not as powerful as the fuel-injected engine in the Raven 2. But it's been a good, reliable engine, and I would really like to see it replace most of the RF-22s that are used for primary training, particularly primary training of older pilots, because I think that it has such good margins in all respects, such good auto-rotation characteristics, and I'm sure it will be effective in reducing the accident rate, and I've already got an agreement with Pathfinder Insurance that if we can do that, that they will lower the insurance rates on the R-44 Raven 1 used in the flight schools for primary training down to where it was for the R-22. So about the only thing we can't do anything to equalize those two is the fuel consumption. The R-44 Raven 1 is still going to burn more fuel than the R-22. I don't know. I'm going to guess probably 9 gallons per hour versus 15 gallons per hour in a high-speed cruise and less in a training environment. But that's the only thing that we can't do anything to help on. Pretty much everything else, including parts and initial price and all that sort of thing. We've already done a lot in that direction and we'll continue to do more.
How did the bankruptcy of Silver State Helicopters affect Robinson?
It affected us very little. It affected us a little because we lost some money on it too, but it was a very sad thing. The suddenness of it, I think, caught all of us off guard. Many of us had always thought that Silver State was building a house of cards, but we were always following our usual procedure where we don't let anything leave our factory that isn't fully paid for with a cashier's check and or wire transfer, and that's been a good policy. So we didn't really end up in a position where Silver State owed us a lot of money. The ones I really feel sorry for are all those students out there that paid Silver State large amounts of money, $60,000 or $70,000 in many cases, just a few days before they went flip-flop. And that was wrong. That was absolutely wrong. Other than that, we had no connection with Silver State. A lot of people thought we did. We didn't. We were the manufacturer of the helicopters that they used, most of them. And we sold them the helicopters just like we would any other dealer, any other customer. And that was it. So we have always kept ourselves very well protected, and that goes all the way back to our history, because we cannot afford to get caught in some scam, which that Silver State turned out to be.
Have recent issues with rotor blade leading edges led to any thoughts of using composite blades on Robinson helicopters?
No, my experience and opinions on composites versus metal, it still would be the same. So the problem that we had here fairly recently has been solved and shouldn't have happened. And they made some changes in our manufacturing that I wasn't aware of. And that's been corrected. So that problem is no longer exists. But the composite blades, just to repeat, I suppose, what I've said before when asked a similar question, the composite blades make a lot of sense for military helicopters because they have a very low radar reflectivity and therefore are more immune to radar-directed missiles. So the military wants it for that purpose. They also have better ballistic damage tolerance. They can take a hit with not only 50 caliber, but also 20 millimeter, and still the cracks will not propagate to the same extent with the composites that they will with metal. So the military promoted the composites, but they're a lot more expensive, a lot more difficult to control the quality of, and they're very subject to sand or dust or even rain erosion. In the case of the civil helicopters, like the ones that we make, our requirements are just the opposite. We want a high radar reflectivity so that we can be seen on radar and avoid congestion or collisions. And we don't really plan on flying where somebody's going to be shooting at us all the time, so the ballistic damage tolerance is not that important. That's why we have really, really good erosion protection on the leading edge, much better than the other helicopters.
Are there any plans to offer glass panels?
Well, I have a lot of mixed emotions on the glass cockpits. I feel very strongly, safety is number one with us. And anything that distracts that pilot from concentrating on flying his helicopter and keeping his eyes outside the cockpit, I feel very strongly there. Now, if they have to get it to the point where it really does not require any concentrated focus or look at that instrument panel, and you can just be flying the helicopter, looking outside, and just with just a glance, get every piece of information you need, then that might be nice. I have an open mind, Eric. I really do, you know. But we're not going to put something in there that's going to reduce the safety of the aircraft. So we'll see how it goes.
Are there any changes planned for the flight controls in your helicopters? What about an autopilot?
We have been working with a company for the development, not of an autopilot, because I don't think you either need nor want an autopilot in a light helicopter, because you just aren't flying cross-country like you do with an airplane where you need an autopilot. And you can't fly instruments anyhow, so right now that would be way down on the priority list. What I would like to see developed would be a good, reliable, inexpensive SAS system, that's a stability augmentation system, that would give it the same stability that, at least the same stability that an airplane has. And that should be done. So far, they keep coming up with numbers that are too high, both in cost and in weight. But when they get them down right, we'll probably at some point be in a position to be able to offer that. We're not there yet, though.
You can find more information on Robinson Helicopters at www.robinsonheli.com. The Helicopter Association International will host Heli Expo 2009 in Anaheim, California, February 22nd through the 24th next year. You can find out more about the event at www.heliexpo.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.